Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday. So that means that it is Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Our very favorite time of the week. Hutton, I'm going to toss this up to you. I'm going to let you choose. Do you have some Super Bowl thoughts that you still need to get out? Whether it's Patrick Mahomes thoughts, Kyle Shanahan in overtime, or are you ready to move on?
I have a beef with Travis Kelce right now.
All right, let's talk about it.
So apparently he's mic'd up, or NFL Films is on the sidelines when this tirade is going on. By the way, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo should have covered this more. That's number one. Number two, NFL Films has apparently muted this part of the audio.
Ooh.
What are we doing?
Why?
Why are we placating to them so much? This is, if any other player, Mace, you know about the boom mics that are over there.
Yes.
You think they're editing out anything they hear for the year-end recap for any of those players? No. They're editing out this for Travis Kelce? It has nothing to do with Andy Reid, by the way. It has something to do with Taylor Swift, I'm sure. This is BS. Come on. What are they doing placating to this? No, there's not many players in the league that would have this type of treatment, and Travis Kelce doesn't deserve it.
No, I'm with you, Hutton, on that.
That was so uncalled for.
Sometimes they you hear, like, if it's a word they can't say, they let them talk,
they
and then
no
they bleep,
effects.
And then they let them talk more.
It is muted.
They don't completely just mute it like that. Yeah. And again, I go back to this with Travis Kelce. And I'm glad that Antonio Brown put that out on social media, because he was right. If that was him, now he has a history.
Oh, AJ.
No, Antonio Brown did,
and
too.
And AJ.
And AJ Brown. But they're both right.
I think Darren Bates said something about it as well.
Exactly. They are right. Like, if it was them and they ran up on their coach like that, every announcer, every talking head nationally would be criticizing and ridiculing and any other words you can think of when it comes to those players. They would have asked for them to be suspended next year, or where they would have said, hey, listen, they need to cut them. After something like egregious like that, you need to be cut. That's why when it happened and we talked about it that Monday, I'm like, that was not called for. Like, there's a way that you go about being, showing your displeasure on the field.
The fact that Nantz and Romo just kind of brush it off, and now that they're muting this, tells me that, they don't want to piss off the Swifties. Am I wrong?
No,
but that is the most absurd and ridiculous thing that I have ever
heard. Well, but they had three new advertisers that are for women only that advertised in the Super Bowl and paid $7 million per 30 seconds.
I hear you.
They hit that target audience. That's what this is about. I truly believe that after this has happened.
I feel like in the past there are probably some things, maybe that didn't happen out in the open that everybody is aware of, but if they wanted to play everything that their microphones picked up, they could probably go to a lot of places. But we maybe weren't aware of it. That's one of the things I love about the NFL Films, because on occasion you will see a really interesting thing that happened on the sideline, or somebody's thought right before a big play, and like, wow. And that's the cool part of having that. But I agree. I don't see there's any reason.
Well, and here's the thing.
At least play some
TMZ,
of it, right? Yeah. There's
TMZ
a way you can do
going
it.
To get this audio. I can't wait for TMZ to leak this audio. I mean, because there's no reason to protect Travis Kelce. I mean, the dude is a lunatic on the mic anyway.
I don't think it would affect Travis Kelce going forward if people heard what he said.
No, but and this is different because he hit an official. But I can't even remember who it was. It was 2 years ago. The special teams player who came over and like shoulder bumped one of the officials. Everyone lost their mind over that. That was the storyline of the game. This is so the way that things were going for KC, it reminded me of the Christmas Day game against the Raiders for them this year. Things crumbled. They were just kind of discombobulated. That's the way the first half was going. And Travis Kelce had one catch at that point, I believe. He wasn't in the game. And again, I'm not into I don't buy into everything with this. It's just the timeline. Every time he touches the football, they're going to pan to Taylor Swift. You think he wasn't thinking about that? He absolutely was. That's why he was. I truly think that's why he was mad.
And that's what did I say Monday? I said, listen, he understands the ramifications and the magnitude of this game. Not just playing, but everything that goes along with this game. Mm-hmm. He understands it. That's why he was so, because the score was 10-3. It wasn't like it was in the fourth quarter and it was 27-10 or something like that. And it's like, okay, yeah, Travis, yeah, I can see why you're being upset. But it was 10-3. God, they were moving, but San Fran was just playing good defense. And again, there's a way you do this. It's like you show your displeasure. I've done it several times. I'm walking and I'm cursing and I'm screaming. I take my helmet off and I sling my helmet. But one thing I will not do is go and get in my head coach's face and bump him. I don't even, well, I will go up and talk to my offensive coordinator. He and I may have a heated, but it's nothing to the magnitude where I get physical with a guy, because it's like, that's just a level of respect.
Right, and especially to me, right on the edge of field of play, exactly, where the guy's trying to do his job. The head coach is doing his job.
When he did it, everybody played it down. I'm listening to Stephen A. I see Tom Brady. It's like, no, stop making
it. Because they won the game.
Exactly. Like, people, I don't understand this world. Like, listen, call a damn a spade. You can love the spade. That spade can be your brother. It can be your mama. It can be your grandmama. But call a spade, and then move on. People have a hard time with calling a spade when it comes to certain individuals and their notoriety when it comes to sports or anything else. That's my whole problem with it.
Hud, I'll be honest. This is I was sort of impressed that the Chiefs won it with all of this going on.
For a
long time, like you have to give them credit, and I'm not just talking about Travis Kelce, because we just had a great discussion last
He's
hour about playing through distractions. You know, and compartmentalizing and staying focused with trade rumors and everything like that. That was more of a traditional discussion. This is a little more outside the box. But think about all of the players and people around that situation who had to sort of put it aside. I thought that was pretty good. That wasn't easy, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think that's head coach, quarterback, tight end. I mean, Kelce, to his credit, is capable of putting that aside. And I'm just double checking here. This was on Inside the NFL via the CW, but it's through NFL Films, of course. And it was the NFL, not the CW, who edited this out. That's according to this report through Sideline Films. It was where you can find this on the actual clip. Again, he's mic'd up because they want the postgame footage with him and Taylor, right? So, but this was a storyline, but it wasn't really storyline. And I'm not trying to make a bigger deal than what it is. It's just peculiar to me. If that's any other player, Nance and Romo are talking about this based on when it happened. It was so early in the game. And that made it that was what was kind of an eyebrow raise to me, because Kelce's known for kind of being a temper, a hothead. And Willie, I was listening to you earlier this week when you said that you were watching pregame. I missed this with Cowher and Reed, but I mean, they were talking about this, but with how he had to kind of get him under control. That's all fair, and it played out in this game, but that's still a storyline. That's a big one for one of the best players on the field.
And the announcers downplayed it during the game.
I know.
Right?
And it just doesn't – it feels fake. It just feels fake to me. I hate it.
It's yet another example of the NFL prioritizing its end goal and money over really anything else. And like, I get it. I understand. The NFL is a for-profit business, but it feels so obvious what they're doing.
Yeah. Again, just on the surface level, I don't think Jim Nance and Romo are going to gloss over something because they're told to do something. Aikman criticizes the NFL all the time, and they love Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. The NFL loves them as the duo. So I'm not saying that. They're true pros. Nance is at the top of the list. But adding everything together, there's a lot of things going on in the Super Bowl, but that's pretty big. And to not go back and reference that is just odd to me, and it's hard for me not to read into that.
I don't know about the reading into it and what goes through their mind. I do know that in real time, sometimes you have to make quick decisions, and once you go past it, it's hard to bring it back. But I do think I would love to ask Nance, just from an educational spot for me, like, what's going through your mind there? And did you guys consider taking that a little bit further? Because I agree, it was a bigger thing than they made it out to be. Like, I think that needed to be discussed further, what just happened. Like, you never see that. Mm-hmm. In a Super Bowl? You've got to talk about that more. And that feature that Bill Cowher did with Andy Reid would have given them a way to say, hey, if you watched our pregame show, we talked about Andy Reid trying to corral Travis Kelce and all those emotions that he has and trying to channel it in the right way. It was a great coach-to-coach discussion about how do you get the most out of a player. That would have given them some space to talk about what just happened.
Caroline, can I take it one step further on another thing I want to address?
All yours?
Steve Spagnuolo. Hats off to him. He signs an extension with the Chiefs today as the defensive coordinator. Get this. So he did things defensively against San Fran that no one else in the league was doing in this game. And he stuck to what he does. He went cover zero. Let's see. He went cover zero 21% of the time. The league average in playing San Francisco this year, 6.2%.
Wow.
He went cover one 40.5% of the time. League average against their opponents, 23.8%. And he went, let's see, man coverage, 64% of the time. The average for their opponents against this offense, 30%.
Jeez.
He brought it. He just brought it. And that defense, I mean, Chris Jones, exceptional game. I don't think he's a Chief next year based on the contract situation that played out. I just hats off to Spagnuolo. He's not going to be talked about very much. He is exceptional when it comes to this. And normally he's building a defense to match or get close to matching their offense going into the postseason. This year it was vice versa. And they showed up, and I thought Spagnuolo just stuck with something that no other team was doing against San Fran just by league average. And it worked in large part.
Will Spagnuolo be the first career coordinator in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
The first which coordinator?
Like career coordinator, like in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
In other words, who never became a head coach?
But
he was a head coach. He was a head coach for the Rams.
But for what he did as a coordinator, four Super Bowls now as
That's
a coordinator.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Dick LeBeau is there, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
But Dick LeBeau was as a player,
as a
right?
Player.
Yeah. Did Dick LeBeau go in as a player?
Good question.
I think he's in twice.
We need to check that.
Pretty sure. If he's not, he will be.
I could be missing someone.
He's legit. He's legit.
Spagnuolo. I don't think any other.
He is a great example of not a good head coach, great coordinator. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. He was not good with the St. Louis Rams. He's exceptional as a coordinator, and the Chiefs are lucky to have him.
Jonathan Hutton is with us, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, we're going to hear from Brian Callahan, new offensive coordinator Nick Holtz, and Denard Wilson here in just about 15 minutes. What questions do you still have, and what do you want to know? What do you want to hear from the coordinators today?
Well, so I want to see the follow-up of, you know, we mentioned Callahan saying something that I'm totally fine with. I just haven't heard it from the Titans organization, period, where you asked to describe an offense, and he started by running through all these different pass elements. I mean, I've never heard that from that building. I want to see what these guys echo with that. Plus, defensively, I'm more intrigued there. I've heard he's a fiery guy. I don't have a clue. And I'm just curious to see the mentality defensively of what we saw and what we're going to see. Carthon came in and did this is the biggest difference, I think, from what John Robinson was doing to Rand Carthon. And it's evident just based on what happened with Kevin Byard. The investment was made at safety. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're going to load up and pay corner instead of safety. Load up and pay corner, get a true number one or draft one, and then load up on the defensive front. I mean, that's what the best defenses are doing. There's some safeties that are getting paid, but not many. I think that's the biggest glaring difference just in 1 year. And now I think we see what the true transition might be.
But I think as you say that, it is interesting because it sort of reinforces that they went outside the box a bit over the last few years with what they paid special players. And you completely understand why they did it. But Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry were paid so high at positions that a lot of teams just don't pay that kind of money. And that made it sort of a creative situation for them to overcome.
And that made it difficult to trade Kevin Byard, you know, because there's not many teams that pay their safety, you know. But if they do pay their safeties, you know, Buda Baker. I'm just going through some of that. They're on a team playing for a big money. You don't need another big money safety. So I think it made it difficult. But you can build a defense from back to front. We saw that in Seattle. And it can work. I'm not saying it can't work. The Titans defense was pretty good in stretches. I also look at it. Vrabel would have been on board with this as well, right? So that I think one thing I've kind of glossed over, and I didn't mean to. I just overlooked it, was the whole Byard thing. That to me is the biggest difference defensively, just from the mindset of Carthon to Robinson. And there's no doubt that they've just hired a defensive coordinator that agrees with that. So, I mean, again, they need help at corner desperately.
And think about what – and I don't know how much 100% Carthon had in this philosophy, but,
right.
You know, they could have renegotiated Tannehill, Byard, and Henry's contract and created more cap space for last year. They could have done that, but they decided, yes. No, we're going to pay the bill now and put ourselves in the situation that they're in right now, which is now they have a lot of flexibility cap-wise, what they want to do.
I think they tried to trade them, Willie. I mean, they're just like Byard. I think they, they did. I mean, they did shop them. You just don't get the return, so you keep them. I mean, yeah. I think that was.
But the worst thing would have been to kick the can down the road and still owe them a lot of money, right? And still maybe want to cut them.
Yeah, you're going to owe more. Like they just, you know, they decided to bite the bullet and do it now. If they're not going to trade them, just have another year and let it run out. I mean, it's fine. They don't owe anything moving forward, and it's not often that guys play through their contracts. Tannehill got paid every dime.
Yep.
So did Derrick Henry.
Yep.
That's rare. That's rare.
Yeah. A lot of times teams get a lot of dead money out of great players like that because you want to keep those guys around as long as you possibly can.
What do you guys think Henry gets on the open market?
That is the question, I think. Because I think it could take well into the summer before he finds out, right? He's going to wait.
I think a team will overpay for him.
You think so?
What do you think?
I think a team.
I was thinking he could get four on the open market.
I think somebody will pay, but the longer it goes, the more the money goes down. I think if this goes into like after free agency, after the draft, I think now the money can go down.
Do you think he's a first wave kind of guy where that everybody's got their budget and jumps in?
That's a good question because the team tried to trade for him, according to him.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
A contender. I mean, that would be a team that is run first. I'm assuming it was Baltimore. He actually said two teams, I think. Mm-hmm. I would assume one of them was Baltimore.
But as a rental is different than signing a free agent.
Yeah.
You're renting a player that you feel like fits your offense.
Yeah.
Like Henry doesn't fit every offense.
And it still would be a 1 or 2 year deal.
Max two.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I'm not saying it's $10 million. I'm not saying it's 12. No, I'm not. But we're saying four. I mean, market value for him. Just look at what I still think he has tread on the tires. By the way,
of course.
Oh yeah. There's not a lot of comparables, right? To his
not Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
And he's a player that will help you win a Super Bowl. That's the other thing. He will help you win.
Is Zeke Elliott the comparable? That's an interesting.
He's the only comparable, honestly. Because Ezekiel, because of the, you know.
But I don't think Ezekiel has much left, honestly.
He's been hurt, too.
He was a little thick.
I think Henry has something left.
But what did he get? What did Zeke get last year? Because they're the same age, right? Henry and Elliott are the same age, same draft, right?
Are they really?
Yes.
Yeah, they're the same draft, yeah.
Because the Cowboys, there's a lot of talk Cowboys.
Yeah, you're right. But see, the thing that messes with me is how long it took Henry to actually come into the league and play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look up the salary for Elliott, but it's not going to be – I think Henry's getting more than this.
Because Elliott was sitting around most of the summer, right, he signed with the Patriots. He wasn't first-day free agent.
And I think that the public perception of Ezekiel Elliott at that point was – much less favorable than what it is of Derrick Henry.
Because you get the intangibles with Derrick Henry. Elliott's intangibles are not the same.
Zeke got $3 million.
$3 million.
I think then $4 million base. Absolutely is on the table for Derrick Henry, at least on the open market.
Worth up to $6 million. But, I mean, again, Elliott's done. And I don't mean that as a knock. I mean, he's good at touchdowns. He reaches the end zone. You get him 5 yards or in, he's going to score. Henry's got more than what I feel like he showed this year. I do. And I don't see him taking less than what would be market value. In fact, I think there will be a couple of teams that will pay him more on a 1 or 2 year deal. That's great for him.
Elliot
that's
is
about
28.
That's about his longevity now.
Mm-hmm.
Elliott will be 29 next year, so he's actually younger, but they went in the same draft, the 2016 draft, right? Henry was 2016.
You guys agree, though? He's a two-down back. That decreases the value. But you guys agree he has more left than what would be the average 30-year-old back in the league?
Yes. Yeah,
I
think
agree.
He does.
I would agree wholeheartedly.
That ups his value to me. I think there are teams that would restructure other players to bring him in. I don't know if that's day one, but the fact that teams try to trade for a running back, I mean, again, that giving up draft picks for a running back is rare because most teams don't even want to – they'd rather draft a running back. And I view it from the lens of – I'm just taking him for his word. Mm-hmm. Two contenders tried to trade for him. Now, albeit apparently not a great deal, tried to trade for him, a running back where you don't invest in the running back, period, but they felt like he could help them win a Super Bowl. That is value. And he can help a team win a Super Bowl. I hope he wins. I really do. There are only a handful of content. I would love for him to do that. But he's been a pro's pro, classy the whole way. There will be more than a couple of teams that are really intrigued to bring him in and help their team. And he's a two down back, sure. But on those two downs, I mean, you got to load the box. And if he goes to the right offense, that's going to help the quarterbacks. And I'm thinking Miami, Baltimore, Dallas. I mean, we could keep going here.
All on the table. I think they're all teams Cleveland, that believe they could be a Derrick Henry away. And honestly, that might be right. It might be
Jacksonville.
Right.
I mean, we could keep going. But Florida is very intriguing to him. I think that would be interesting to see what those teams might be willing to give. Dallas is a no-brainer. But again, like I think he kind of waved that off just as a shrug. Like, everyone thought he wanted to be a Cowboy. I don't know the backstory there. Baltimore, too. Just, again, the way they run their offense, they're going to give Henry more than 6 carries in a playoff game.
I know the thought of Baltimore probably just sends shivers down the spines of Titans fans. Jonathan Hutton, yeah. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you as always. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll chat with you next week.
Yep, same. Always enjoy this, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
Appreciate it. You as well, Hutton. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. We'll get to the coordinators, Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz, and Denard Wilson coming up next. Caroline Ville-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.